Is there anybody that knows for certain they've been healed tonight already? Just raise your hand. Anybody? All right. Right here? Back here? You know you've been healed? You know, the power of God is here to heal you. And if you believe the words we've been singing, you just have to receive it. You just have to believe it. It's that simple. It's not hard. Over in Mark chapter 2. Say this with me. Tonight is my night to be healed. I believe it and I receive it. Mark chapter 2. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum, and after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Friend, he's in the house tonight. Immediately, many gathered together. You suppose they heard something about Jesus? Because immediately, they gathered together. So that there was no longer room to receive them. Not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But there was many times where it's recorded that he taught them. It says he taught them the word. Many gathered together. Multitudes gathered together to hear him and to be healed. We've been singing words. We've been hearing about Jesus. Somebody testify. If you believe him and you receive him, you get born again. If you believe he's your healer and you receive your healing, you'll be healed. Say it again tonight. Is my night to be healed. Faith always receives it right now in the present tense. It's not I'm going to get healed. Not later on. Not tomorrow. Faith is now. Now faith is. And God requires us to have faith. So here we see this situation, this time where he was having a Bible study, it looks like. It says they gathered together in the house, and he preached the word to them. That's Jesus, the Master. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, say the crowd prevented these guys to come to Jesus. What's preventing you to come to Jesus? They had a legitimate situation, the crowd. But maybe there's been something that's holding you back. Maybe you've been frustrated at why God hasn't already healed you. I've got good news for you. He has. You say, but I still feel the pain. I said Jesus has healed you. He did that 2,000 years ago. He saved you 2,000 years ago. The day you received it was the day you notified him, I'm being born again, I'm getting saved. Well, tonight's your night. You said it with me. Say it again. Tonight is my night to be healed, set free, chains broken off. He's a chain breaker. He's a pain taker. He's a setter freer. He's going to set you free. So these four men, it's five men actually, four men plus the guy on the stretcher, they came to the meeting because they heard just like everybody else, but they didn't get there in time and the house was full. And so they could have thought a lot of things, couldn't they? They could have thought, well, surely if God wanted my buddy healed, He'd have made room for us at the meeting. Surely he would have made room inside the house, but that didn't happen. So they could have turned around and said, you know what? The meeting's sold out. The meeting's full. Guess we'll have to catch him next time, maybe on his way to Jericho or wherever. No, look at the story here. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, put yourself right here. What is it that's between you and Jesus, the healer? Is it doubt and unbelief? Maybe you've been prayed for before and you didn't receive healing. It could be that you have too much knowledge of your problem. I see that a lot of times. And because you have so much knowledge, because today we are in the information age, are we not? You could Google your situation and come up with 3 million different things that have been written about it. I did that once for an illustration. And my wife found my phone and she thought, oh my goodness, he got something that he's not telling me about. And it wasn't until later that week, what was the next service, when I was sharing it, and she just broke out laughing because I never said anything to her. But because of we're in so much knowledge, you could actually be in faith, but yet have so much knowledge coming towards you about your problem that it's not that you don't have faith. It's that you've got too much knowledge about the problem, so therefore the problem is bigger than your faith. The problem is bigger than your response to God, trusting and believing him. You know he's your healer, but you've been meditating on the knowledge. People that are in the medical field, this sometimes happens to them because they've been trained to know everything about this situation. And so they have all that knowledge that the enemy will use to keep coming at them. So that could be a situation you're facing. Or it could be that you have lack of knowledge. Maybe you don't even know it's the will of God to heal you. I meet a lot of people that they just don't know. But God addressed it in his word in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. A leper came to him full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody with leprosy or a picture of it. It's pretty hideous. But this man came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I know you can heal me. He had that information. He had heard reports. But he didn't know if Jesus would heal him, that he wanted to, that it was his will. He said, if you're willing, I know you can. And Jesus reached out and touches this leper and he said, I'm willing. So there we have the word of God right there. Because Jesus, in John 6:38, said, I didn't come down to do my own will. I only came to do what the Father shows me to do, and I only come to say what the Father tells me to say. And so we have the Father's will on it, that he's willing that you be healed. So let's just, if that was your situation, let's get that out of the way right now. It's God's will that you be healed. It's God's will that everybody is healed. I had somebody just recently say to me, God doesn't always heal. And I said, I knew this person and I knew that they knew. And I said, explain what you just said to me. He says, well, not everybody gets healed. And I said, those two statements, the first one and the second one, are as far as the east is from the west. The first one, you said, God doesn't always heal. The second one, you said, everybody doesn't get healed. I said, the difference is, God has already healed everybody. But not everybody receives their healing. Let me say it this way. How many here tonight are saved? You're born again. What if I said, well, God doesn't save everybody? You'd be quick to tell me, but he sent Jesus to the cross to die for everybody. Ah, but that's different. The price has been paid for everybody, but not everybody has received. So the price has been paid by the stripes Jesus bore, Isaiah 53. By his stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. So by what God did, he healed you, but not everybody's received it. Not everybody's received salvation. But we wouldn't say, well, God doesn't want to heal everybody. It must not be God's will to save everybody. No, in his word. So you have to look at his word. He said over in Peter, I'm not willing that one would perish. Not one. So although he paid the price for everybody, not everybody receives him. It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with anything that we receive from God. Salvation, actually that word salvation means, it's the Greek word sozo, and it means everything for spirit, soul, and body. Salvation includes healing. Salvation includes prosperity. Salvation includes peace of mind. Salvation includes forgiveness of sins. It includes everything, because God's a big God and he doesn't leave anything out. So again, back to the question, what is it that's kept you from getting healed? Begin to identify where maybe you've missed it. Because here's the thing, God's never missed it. So let's just clear that one up. Now maybe somebody prayed for you and you didn't receive the manifestation of the healing. Okay, it's not God's fault. Let's get that out of the way. You've got to look at yourself as to, did I receive it? Was I really in faith? Now, you could have really been in faith, but you could have really had some unbelief there too. It's possible to have faith and unbelief at the same time. And I gave you that illustration of too much knowledge. You've got these things pulling on you. You've got to make it up in your mind right now to trust God that he accomplished that work on Calvary. And that by the stripes Jesus bore, I'm healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, I is healed. I just have to believe it. And I have to receive it. So back to Mark chapter 2. These fellas came to the meeting and they couldn't get in. Couldn't even get in the door. And some of you know this story. Some of you may not. Let me read it from the Bible. They couldn't get near him because of the crowd. But something in them said, we're gonna press in until we get to Jesus. We're not leaving here without him getting healed. These poor guys were tired of carrying that guy on the stretcher fishing. They're tired of, you know, going to the ballpark. They're tired of lugging him around. He's their friend. Think about it. They wanted him healed. They heard Jesus is the healer, and they heard Jesus is in the meeting. Well, friend, Jesus is in this meeting. The power of God is here to heal you. The power of God was here to heal. And yet, if you read through this whole meeting that they had, let's just look at it. They couldn't come near him because of the crowd, so they uncovered the roof where he was. They went up on the roof. See, they didn't give up and go home. They looked up. They didn't give up. Maybe you've given up before and said, well, maybe it wasn't the will of God, because surely we've all heard at one point in our life, it's not always God's will to heal. But you know, the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. So if we can find one account of God healing somebody, then we can know he'll heal us. And in Luke 5:12, we found such a man, that man with leprosy. Jesus said, I'm willing. He reached out, laid his hand on him, and that man was restored. He was healed. If that man 2,000 years ago got healed, you can get healed tonight. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. Faith simply means, in simplest terms, it's you're going to respond to what you believe. If you believe Jesus is your healer, you're going to respond and say, I receive it. See how easy that is? When you share with friends about salvation, you don't make it hard. You say, God so loved the world. You quote, how many can quote John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We don't make that hard. Why should we make it hard to receive our healing? Because healing is in salvation. It's a part of it. So these guys, they looked up, they went up on the roof, uncovered it. And my, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. They went up and destroyed the roof. Destroying a roof is called faith. Tenacity, diligence, not giving up. Not giving up. The meeting was full and they didn't give up. They said, we know Jesus is the healer, and we're not leaving here tonight until we get healed. That's what those four plus the guy on the stretcher were saying. We're not leaving till we get healed. You've got to be that sure that Jesus is your healer and say, I'm not leaving tonight until I get healed. Say it again. Tonight, I shall be healed. Because Jesus is my healer. If this is too simple for some, I'm going to try to simplify it even more. Because it should be easy enough for a four-year-old to understand and to receive. So these guys, they undo the roof. They let him down. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. So evidently, Jesus was pretty impressed with what they did by tearing that roof apart and letting him down. Jesus, God was pretty impressed with that. They had a crowd in between them and Jesus the healer. And they overcame that. What do you need to overcome? Is it fear? Maybe it's fear that's been holding you back. The fear of a bad report from a doctor could be you're afraid of death. And fear will paralyze your faith. Fear will paralyze your faith. But Paul shows us in Corinthians that that's taken care of because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The worst thing that could happen is you could die. And you're going to see Jesus. So we should not have any fear of death. So let's cross that one off. Not going to fear. Going to be bold. Going to trust God. Too much knowledge. You're going to have to shelf the knowledge of the problem, and you're going to have to open the word. If this has been a problem, then this is what you need to do. You need to get more of God's word about your healing than you have knowledge of the situation. Because you can't have more faith in the knowledge and more faith in the doctor's report. Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report will you believe? This is important. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the doctor's report? Or will you believe God's report? Because it's in Isaiah 53, verse 4, that says, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and our weaknesses and distresses. He has carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. He's bruised for our guilt and iniquities. That's our sin. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. When you've got a bad report from a doctor, all peace goes right out the window, doesn't it? Come on, talk to me. How many know the peace just seems to just... It's like the air in the balloon just gets deflated. But if you've got God on it, if you've got the word of God in your heart, you can say, that report doesn't mean nothing to me. Thank you, doctor. I thank you. That's your report. That's just a report. I have a higher report. I had to do that one time when my daughter was 12 years old. And I got a phone call that she's on her way to LRGH. And they didn't know. They said she's unresponsive. That's not a phone call you want to get when you hear that your child's on the way to the hospital and they're unresponsive, don't you know that the enemy starts talking? Drug overdose. That's so prevalent today. I mean, back when she was 12, that wasn't as a major problem as it is today. But there's something that... So I had to either believe God's report that by the stripes of Jesus, she's already healed, regardless of what they tell me. And so I get to the hospital before the ambulance gets there. And I'm standing at the triage unit, and the head nurse, she says, "Can I help you?" And I told her who I was, and they said, "Well, they're still 5 minutes out." And I could hear on the speaker the EMT people in the ambulance, and it was going from bad to worse. Still unresponsive. And this nurse, she could see, I just told her, "I'm the dad of this little girl." And I could just see her heart sunk because I heard that information. But I didn't let that information move me. And right there, with everybody around, I declared, "Katie will live and not die." Out loud. I said, "By the stripes Jesus bore, she's healed." Everybody's hearing me. I had to go to battle on behalf of my daughter. So 5 minutes seemed like an eternity. But I was praying in the spirit, and I was declaring and decreeing. God says in Job 22:28, "Thou shalt decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established." And I said, "She will live and not die, and she will declare the works of the Lord." So the ambulance backs up and the doors open, and there was some confusion as to, is it my daughter or not? Because they had the age wrong, they had the address wrong. But when I got the call from the police department, the first thing I thought of, well, some little girl's on the way to the hospital and they've only called me. They won't even know how to identify this person if I can't go and at least say, well, no, she's not mine. But they open the doors and it's my daughter. They take her out, they put her on the emergency room bed, and I got right in the middle, and I laid my hands on her, and I said, "By the stripes that Jesus bore," I said, "Katie is healed." I said, "She will live and not die." I declared and decreed God's word over her, God's report. The emergency people, two doctors came in, the nurses, and the head nurse says, "Don't worry, Mr. Sanborn, we'll work around you." They recognize something's going on. So they're taking her blood, they doing all, and time's ticking away. And finally, they're all gone, and I'm there all alone with my daughter, still unresponsive. Her eyes are wide open, looking up. She doesn't see nothing. She's not responding to anything. It's like she's in a coma with her eyes open. And I just continued to declare, "She will live and not die." And they're all gone. And an accident happened at Busy Corner. And they're bringing in teenagers and elderly people, a crash. And they're all in back braces and neck braces. And I see them one by one. There's like five of them go by. And the Lord just impressed upon me to stop for a minute with Katie and pray over those people. And so I began declaring over them. I mean, God is in this emergency room. And he's having his way. He's not going to let the enemy take anybody out. And so, half hour turns into 45 minutes. They're calling in doctors. I hear a doctor say, "Katie Sanborn," he picked up the clipboard with my daughter's information. He said, "Who's taking care of her?" Their response was, "Don't worry about her. Her dad's with her." So all of a sudden, I became an EMT worker. She's still unresponsive. Don't worry about her. That's okay. Turns into an hour, turns into 2 hours. Waiting rooms filling up with people that heard the report that Katie's in the hospital. The nurse said they want to talk to you. I go out. Katie's grandmother's out there, her mom's mom. And she said, how is she? I said, she's fine. She hadn't even said a word to me. She hadn't even acknowledged me. I said, she's fine. I was speaking by faith. She says, well, I want to come in. I said, okay, let's go. I take her in, and I said to her, I said, she's not talking a whole lot. She says, I want to go in. So I brought her in. And her grandmother goes up to her, and it's been two and a half hours. And I think before that, her mother called. This is a long time ago, but it's as real as though it was yesterday. Her mother and I were separated, and she's living in the southern part of New Hampshire. And she got word somehow, and she's calling, and she says, put Katie on the phone. And I said, she's not talking much. She raises her voice, says, you put her on the phone. So I put the phone up to her, and now my ex-wife is screaming hysterically. So I hang up the phone. And I said, God, I said, that woman's on her way up here. I said, you got to do something right now. I said that. I said, she's going to tear this place up. So the grandmother comes in. And Katie squeaked out a word when her grandmother was standing there. And so the tests are all coming back negative. Nothing. They can't find anything wrong. Can't find anything wrong. But yet there's no doubt, for all that time, she was like in a coma. And so they wanted to keep her overnight. I didn't want to, but her mother did, so we let them keep her overnight. Went back the next day. They're taking tests. They wanted to do a brain scan. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord. My daughter's not, she's pretty sharp, but no, I'm just being funny. So they hook her up to all these probes. And they do this test, and we come back an hour later, and a nurse comes up to us and says, Mr. and Mrs. Sanborn, we found a problem with your daughter. Actually, she said they were happy that they found a problem. I thought, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I didn't receive that report. They had pages of brain scans an inch thick, and they saw that was there. And so what happens? They said, the doctor will have to come in and explain it to you. So we had to wait for the doctor. I said, there's nothing wrong with my daughter's brain. I said, she's going to live and not die. And the doctor comes in. I'm sitting on the bed next to Katie. She's laying down. Her mother's over here. And there's a rocking chair here, and the doctor sits down in the rocking chair. This is up at LRGH. He sits down. He doesn't even introduce himself. He just starts rocking. After about 30-plus seconds, he finally says, I've looked at the reports. And he says, that I can't find a thing on them that says there's anything wrong with her. And yet the person that administered the test and the head nurse, they'd been doing this 15 years or more. And they said they saw it on the graph. Well, God not only healed her, but he took it off all evidence of it to boot. So now we're leaving to go home. And of course, regulations, they want to wheel her out to outside so she don't fall and sue them or whatever. And so she's going by, the head nurse comes out and she says, I'm sorry, we couldn't find anything wrong with your daughter. First they're glad they did, now they're sorry they couldn't. Look, they're doing the job. If it wasn't for doctors and nurses, a lot of us would be in bad shape. You know, we thank God for them. But they're not the highest. They're not the best. Jesus is our healer. And so we get out to the car, and Katie gets in the front seat, and I come around, and I get in, and she looks over at me, and she says, Dad, She says, I want to tell you something. She says, when I came in the ambulance, and she says, you were speaking God's word over me. She heard every word. And she said, I knew everything was going to be okay. By the stripes that Jesus bore, my daughter was healed 2,000 years ago. Not that night. Not that what night. And my wife and I, actually, we weren't married. Deb and I weren't married yet. And we were going to a meeting down in Concord to see Jesse Rich. And I felt bad. It was like 10:30 the night before when we got out of the hospital, and we went over there to get something to eat over at Friendly's. And I said to Deb, I turned to her, I said, I'm sorry we didn't, you know, the whole night changed. I said, I'm sorry we didn't get to go to the meeting. And right up in my spirit, the Lord spoke to me. He says, you didn't get to go to hear about me. He says, you get to go and do my work. You get to do the word. You didn't go to hear the word. You got to do the word. And you know that same assignment is for everybody. It isn't just for the preacher or the pastor or the evangelist. It's for you. Jesus said in John 14:12, the believer will do the works that I do. The believer. You have to believe it. And when I found out the truth about God's word, I believed it. I began to see miracles in my life. That was one of them. That was way back when I was as green as could be. I hadn't been walking with God in believing God by faith. Like these four guys and the guy on the stretcher. Jesus said he saw their faith. What did he see? He saw them not giving up. He saw them believe the report about himself, Jesus. Because everywhere he went, multitudes. What's a multitude? How many people is that? Does anybody know what that number is? It's huge. It's huge. And people coming everywhere to hear and to be healed. You came tonight to be healed. Well, you've just heard there's something about a testimony that verifies. See, that's personal to me. Nobody could take that from me. Next time the devil comes and tries to tell me, you know, I get a bad report, I don't listen to the bad report. I don't listen to what the devil says. I go to the report that God's given me. That's walking by faith. That's why I said at the beginning, Faith Alive Christian Fellowship. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we get God's results. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Didn't he? Then he goes on to say, let's look at that. I'm almost done. But some of you needed to hear this. Because this will give you hope and you won't forget this. And you can take this with you forever. Mark 11. Jesus is teaching about faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. You see, that night when I got that report about Katie, I began to speak to the mountain. The mountain is the problem in your life. The mountain is the destruction. The mountain is the tribulation. The mountain is anything coming against you. And what did Jesus say? First off, have faith in God, not in the situation. That's why if you have too much information on the situation, that can weigh you down. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever, are you a whoever? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. So you can't have doubt in your heart and be a believer. You can have doubt and unbelief and have faith at the same time, but Jesus is saying, don't. He's saying you got to believe in your heart, and then what do you do? You speak it with your mouth, but believes those things he says. Get this. This is for you. This is showing you how to operate in faith. You. But believes that those things he says, you say, will be done. He will have whatever he says. So whatever report you agree with, Jesus is saying, that's the one you're going to have the answer. If you believe in the doctor's report that you got 3 months to live, then you got 3 months to live. Maybe a little more if the doctor's off a little bit. But if you believe that you will live and not die, then you will live and not die. Jesus said you'll have what you believe in your heart and what you say. What you say, Jesus, the word, but in Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. You choose. You choose. You get to choose. See, that's a misunderstanding if you think God has got your whole life laid out for you. He does have the plan for your life. But if you don't follow it, you still get to say what you want to do. Nobody made you come here tonight. There are people that should be here tonight that didn't come. You get to choose. Nobody forces. Nobody can force you to get born again. If you got kids that aren't saved, you can't force them. Stop trying to. Love them. But he said, I call heaven and earth on record here. Set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. See, the curse goes with death. The blessing goes with life. Is that a hard one to choose, my friend? No. You choose life. You choose healing tonight. You be bold like these men. Now, I'm not asking you to go up and rip the roof apart. You don't have to. You got in and got a seat. But what will Jesus see and say, I saw her faith or I saw his faith? They'll see you believe it. God will see you believe it and receive it. In every song we sang tonight, you could have received your healing in any one of them. Because the words were just allowing you to believe it. And if you personalize it, then it's yours. That's how easy it is. Now, how many here tonight came to be healed? Raise your hands, nice and high. Amen. Well, Suzanne, if you come up at the keyboard and we can put the lights back down again. That next to the last song that we did, I mean, you can go right back into the fourth one as well. But I'm going to ask everybody that came tonight, just trying to follow the Spirit here. While we sing these songs again, I want you to be diligent and tenacious like those four crazy guys with their friend. And say, tonight is my night to be healed. And you receive it. And you tell the devil, he's a liar. He's been lying to you. He's been lying to you. He's been lying to you. You know, I said, what is it between you and Jesus, your healer? Sometimes it's so much familiarity with the things of God that you can almost just take them for granted, but not really receive them by faith. Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that story. I've heard that testimony. I've heard the word. But God said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So I can't miss it when I bring you the word. I can't bring you anything else. That's where it's at. Unless he gives me a word of knowledge and the working of miracles is in operation, which it has been before, but I'm not perceiving it right now. But the word always has the power in it to heal. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and he healed them. If you receive the word, the power in the word, there's power in the word to set you free. Jesus is a chain breaker. Jesus is the word. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is God. Before Jesus came as a baby, he was God the word. And so, the word is here. Jesus is here. The person of the Holy Spirit is here, which is the strong arm of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in agreement. And they're all in agreement that it's their will that you be healed right now tonight. They're in agreement that all you got to do is believe and receive. They won't force you. But they'll make it plain and easy like I have. So I'm going to ask those that came tonight that desire healing to come up. We're going to believe together. Just come up to the altar. Say, this is my night. I will be healed. Because the work's been done. The work's been done. And it is the will of God for me to be healed. And number three, I just have to believe it and receive it. And that's all there is to it. It's the same as salvation. Salvation is a done deal, isn't it? It's a done deal. Jesus doesn't have to come back and die on the cross. He did that once and for all. And when he went to that whipping post, that's where he was paying the price for our sickness and disease. And the Bible says that he became sin, but he also became sickness. It actually says that God was pleased that he bruised Jesus. The reason being is because it was a substitute and that we don't have to. He did it for us. And Jesus came and willingly laid his life down. And he willingly took those stripes. Listen, friend, they just weren't marks. They ripped him to shreds. They tore open his body. And he did that for your healing. I want you to begin to see yourself healed. I want you to begin to thank him.